The Beatitudes, which we hear this morning, I always like to call them, put a stress on Beatitudes, attitudes that we should strive to acquire in our lives. Perhaps the more challenging, although sometimes it's not considered a beatitude, is the last of them. Sometimes it's, you might call it the ninth beatitude. That's why I say sometimes it's not really counted. But at any rate, blessed are they when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely, underline that word, because of me, our Lord. Sometimes it says, for the sake of the gospel, or what things like the various things like this. You know, as we live our Catholic lives, it's good for us to bear in mind, you know, cultivating that last in union with the former eight. You know, as we strive to share our faith by the example of our life, and this is one of the things that, you know, I point out to people, and when we preach, sometimes we can get overzealous, gung-ho, whatever you want to call it, in trying to promote our faith. And we need to remember, you know, at one point perhaps in time, you know, looking back in our lives, when, you know, when we were the receivers of such things, you know, and we're the ones that, you know, people are, as it were, almost, you know, preaching to us and how we receive it. And so we do need to be attentive to how people receive that message that we're trying to share. And I don't mean here, as I've said many times, I don't mean necessarily the words of, you know, talking about Christ and everything, but just the example of our life in sharing, even just by the way we live, the truth of Christ. And we need to just, you know, trying to adjust ourselves, both contemplating this mercy, how we want to be treated, and striving for peace. Sometimes peace means we're the ones that has to, as it were, be the icebreakers by doing something nice for somebody that's maybe at odds with us or whatever, because it helps to placate whatever has caused a difference or a rift in whatever, you know, type of relationship it may have been. It takes a certain meekness and humility to be able to do this. I think best, you know, in the mercy of thinking of, you know, mercy. Mercy is always really, mercy and justice kind of go hand in hand. And beautiful ways of thinking of it is what we experience at home. You know, you need to have some form of discipline in the house. Every, you know, every form of society needs some form of discipline. Even recognize this, even the government recognizes this, why you have police force and all this other stuff. Some form of the measure of how, well, there's right and wrong, and if you break the law, there's consequences. And yet one day we know we stand before the ultimate judge, and he puts in a measure both how we have acted with justice and how we have tempered that justice also with mercy, because justice isn't really justice if mercy isn't a part of it, but mercy isn't really mercy if justice isn't a part of it. And a family, when a father and a family say disciplines his children in one way or another, well, what's the end goal? Why is he doing it? It's just because he's a mean bully, of course. It's very obvious, but it's not that reason. Remember, he was a Protestant, but he was sharing one of the times he was disciplining his son, and he could see in the eyes of his son that his son thought his father took delight in punishing him, and so he said to the boy, he said, "You think I like this? Says fine." So he gave him the belt, and he says, "All right, you hit me." His son burst out, "No, I don't want to hit you." He says, no, come on, you hit me." A little tap. No, that's not good enough. No, you really hit me. Anyway, he says, "I don't want to hit you. You know, I'm not hitting you. You know, disciplining you because I like hitting you. I don't like hitting you. It costs me a lot to have to discipline you. I discipline you because I want you to learn what's right and good." You know, and of course, well, one of the things, you know, because we touch on it, you know, whenever we do discipline, whether, you know, it's, you know, warming the fanny a little bit or whatever, or, you know, the groundings that they do as they get older, you get to a point where you don't do those things. You know, the little ones, you give them the pat, or the others that get older, well, usually it's, you know, you're grounded for a week, month, day, whatever it is. But the point of this is one day we have to, well, we have to stand before our God, and he's going to ask, you know, where we share in this thing. If we didn't act with mercy in what we're doing, you know, acting like good judges, if you don't have sufficient evidence, well, case dismissed, throw it out. This is how we can apply, especially when it gets to outside of the family. We don't always understand people's intentions. We have to, and when we do discipline, it has to be, you know, with a measure of, we have, first of all, not be exasperated. I like the word of our Holy Father in our rule. He says, you know, superiors, particularly ministers general, but really all superiors, when you correct, you must avoid perturbation. That's that agitation. You know, you just like, you just want to wring their little necks. You have to avoid disciplining when that, when you're upset and disturbed yourself, you're often lacking in charity. And then the discipline isn't well received. Because I'm lacking in charity, I'm expecting everything then from a child. And here I am, I'm an adult, and I can't act with virtue. And I'm expecting someone I'm trying to teach to practice a virtue which I'm certainly not demonstrating. And our Holy Father says that, you know, even our Franciscan rule. You know, when we correct with, when we're lacking charity in our discipline, you know, we're showing discipline, we prevent charity, and he says, we prevent charity in ourselves, because then I'm not drawing the soul to Christ. You know, I'm sinning, and I'm, as it were, pushing the soul from Christ, and I prevent that charity, barring supernatural graces, I mean, kind of extraordinary graces, really, you know, in another soul, to respond and practice virtue. Well, I'm not. It's pretty tough to, you know, well, be crucified and practice the heroic virtues of our Lord as he's carrying our cross, and all the while we're pushing and shoving him. It takes heroic virtue to be able to do that. And you don't just have it like that. Snap the fingers and there it is. It's heroic virtue. It doesn't work that way. God does build on it. And sometimes we can, you know, but it is a special grace when we do suddenly, and we recognize sometimes we do have those moments. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's really asking a lot really from God. Never mind from the individual to expect that there's going to be all of a sudden this extraordinary grace given to somebody to practice a virtue when I'm railing on them. And so, you know, as we practice these things, you know, to remember any type of justice times when we have to say discipline, always remember, you know, we want to be calm and reasonable so that it's clear both where justice and mercy lie in the discipline. That it's actually not just a, you know, it's just not just a man, well, might makes right, my way or the highway. We're going to do it my way because I'm the big bully in the house and you have to listen to me. Well, eventually they grow up and they become bigger and stronger. Well, this is one of the reasons why eventually the one form of discipline stops and the other one picks up. Because, you know, also, well, there's a growing up and there's a certain dignity as well that's involved. But to remember these things, you know, as we're teaching our children, but also when we're dealing with others. You know, we learn these things in the household, this, you know, correct discipline, a measured discipline that bears in mind, you know, my own human weakness. This is some beautiful thing from St. Paul. You know, that when we do correct another, we have to be careful. Consider yourself, lest you yourself fall in correcting our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is one of the reasons why we have to be careful of pride. You know, looking down on others, thinking, well, I'm better than other people. May Our Lady and our Lord teach us from the cross of our Lord, from the sufferings of Our Lady at the foot of Calvary, how justice and how mercy are united, how they, in their great love for us, condescended. You know, Our Lady said, yes, I will be the Mother of God, knowing all the while the reason why her Son was becoming man, to satisfy God's justice, to bring about his mercy, so that we might be forgiven, reconciled with our Heavenly Father, so that we might be with our Lord, our Lady, our Heavenly Father in heaven for all eternity, if we ourselves cooperate and embrace the way he has taught us, to live as he has taught us. We ask Our Lady especially to teach us this, incorporating through the mystery of the cross the spirit of the Beatitudes in our own lives, and thanking him for the times when we ourselves find that we perhaps are on the receiving end of the being falsely accused. We do receive this even in the media, in the world, misrepresenting oftentimes our faith and what's done, and also not recognizing human weakness and how to really help that human weakness, because we all have, modern media loves to cast the stones. They should remember, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Would the modern media remember that when it goes about trying to bash the Catholic Church? But at any rate, you know, we do have to, you know, the Holy Father, the Church, we acknowledge that certainly and Pope John Paul II's done this, you know, and through the history of the Church from time to time acknowledges, you know, we are sinners. We're all sinners. And certain sinners have the embarrassing task of pointing out to other sinners, this is the way. And it's not to say that we're without sin, but there's an obligation on us by Christ, and being with the Pope and the bishops and priests, and it's one sinner to another saying, you know, well, listen, but this is what God says. This is what God tells us to do. And it doesn't mean that we're not, you know, in good company. We're in good company, all striving. And so it helps us to understand, because of my weaknesses, I learn how to, God willing, put up with, tolerate, patiently bear with the weaknesses of others as we are all striving to make progress in our holiness towards the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.